Burn, 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 Holy Spirit, burn in me, stay my heart on fire. Experience. Oh, 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 Holy Ghost, make me like the Christ of old, and raising the dead. Oh, the power that Jesus said.
Bless you, saints.
Amen.
Up Calvary's mountain, wandered for more. What Christ, my Savior, weary and worn, facing for sinners, death on the cross. That he might save them from endless loss. Blessed Redeemer, precious Redeemer, seems now I see him on Calvary's tree, wounded and bleeding, for sinners pleading, blinding and healing, dying for me.
Father, forgive them, my Savior prayed, even while his lifeblood flowed fast away. Praying for sinners, while in such woe, no one but Jesus ever loved so. Blessed Redeemer, precious Redeemer, seems now I see him on Calvary's tree, wounded and bleeding, for sinners pleading, blinded and healing, dying for me. Dying for me. Blessed Redeemer, precious Redeemer, seems now I see him on Calvary's tree, wounded and bleeding, for sinners pleading, blind and unhearing, dying for me. Oh, how I love him, Savior and friend. How can my praises ever find end? Through his unnumbered on heaven's shore, my songs shall praise him forevermore. Blessed Redeemer, precious Redeemer, seems now I see him on Calvary's tree, wounded and bleeding, for sinners pleading, blind and unheeding, dying for me. Blessed Redeemer, precious Redeemer, seems now I see him on Calvary's tree, was pleading, blind and unheeding, dying for me.
Amen.
Burn, 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 Holy Spirit, burn in me.
Saints, I want to thank the Lord for what he did for me.
Amen.
It was about 3 weeks ago, on Thursday, the 21st of July. I was sitting in my room at the hostel, and I decided to listen to a message. So the message that I chose is called, Lord, I Believe. So while I was listening to the message, it's more of a prayer line. Towards the end of the message, Brother Brenham was praying for one sister, and while he was praying, myself, what I heard on that day in the message, like while I was listening, he said, you brother,
amen,
with the glasses, I know you don't like glasses, you can take off those glasses.
Amen.
So at that moment, myself, I don't like glasses, I just took off the glasses and I put them on the side. I was sitting on my bed. Then I finished listening to the message. After finishing listening to the message, I took the glasses, I prayed, then I took the glasses. I packed them away, put them in the case, and I put them in a bag. Since then, I've not used the glasses.
Amen. Amen.
Thursday, it was 3 weeks now.
Hallelujah.
Then the other day, I told Brother George about it. First, I told Brother Kumbu. The other day, I said to him,
Amen.
I even used my glasses now for 2 days. So I said, I was listening to a message, and I explained to him what happened. So I said, my eyes are okay. I'm healed.
Amen.
So then I spoke to Brother George the other day. I told him that. Then the other day, Brother David, I think it was last week, he visited me, and we were sitting in his car going somewhere. So he actually asked me because he heard from Brother George. So while I was explaining to him, I said to him, Brother, I was listening to a message and this is what happened. So he said to me, please, can you tell me what that message is? But all of a sudden, while I was speaking to Brother David, I forgot what that message was. So I said to him, look, I'll check when I go to home because it's on my iPad. So every message that I listen to, I have them there. So I looked for that message. I told Brother David. But then that day when I told Brother David, I decided I should listen to that message again. And while I was listening to the message, when I go to the part where it says, take off the glasses, it was actually Brother Brenham praying for the sister. And he said to the sister, you can remove your glasses. Your eyes are well. But on the day when I was listening to the message,
amen,
I heard that you brother with the glasses. So I said to myself, I listened to the message, and while I'm listening to the message, I'll be reading as well, the text. So I paused the message. I read there, and I saw, it didn't say, you brother with the glasses. He just said to the sister he was praying for, take off your glasses. I know you don't like glasses. Your eyes are healed. So I told Brother David again. I said, brother, you know that day when I said that to you, I was actually wrong. Because what I heard in the message, and with what I say to you, it's not it. Because I listened to that message again, and it just said, while he was in the middle of his prayer, he said to the sister, look, you can take off your glasses. Your eyes are okay. So I like to thank the Lord for my,
amen,
my eyes.
Thank you. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's stand up with worship as we finish. Thank God for the voice. Many of us had similar experiences. Even once I told of a certain experience, I won't get into the detail, and Brother Paul was there that time, and he searched for the same thing. Brother Branham said, you there, lying in your bed, you won't die of heart problems, because I felt I was going to die. And I went to bed, not feeling well, but I went with confidence that I'll be okay. And I woke up and I was okay the next morning. So let's take advantage of the voice. Amen. Let's sing that song. as we gather, may your spirit move among us as we gather, may we glorify your name, growing wild at us. We'll be blessed because we praise your name. Oh, we'll be blessed as we gather this morning. As we gather, may your spirit move, Jesus, this morning. As we gather, may we glorify your name. Growing wild as our hearts begin to worship, we'll be blessed because we praise your name. Oh, we'll be blessed because, amen, we are here to praise you. Hallelujah. Oh, we are here to praise you, Lord. Lift our hands and, oh, let's lift our hands, saints. Oh, we lift our hands and sing, Lord. We are it to give to you, Lord, the best that we can. Oh, the best that we can bring, bringing you our love, bringing you. Everything within us, cries, I love you, I love you. Oh, bringing you our love, bringing you our love, rising from our hearts. Everything within us cries, I love you, I love you. A pure heart this morning. Oh, hallelujah.
A pure heart, that's what I long.
Oh, we long for, Lord,
a heart that follows on after thee.
Oh, let's cry out in prayer to him this morning.
A pure heart.
Oh, one that's had the burning bush experience.
Oh, Lord, take me, Lord, in the heart that follows on after thee.
Oh, a heart that hides your word,
a heart that hides your word, so that sin will not come in. A heart that's undivided, one you and raised.
That beats compassion, that pleases you, my Lord.
I see the aroma of worship rises from your throne.
Oh, I want a pure heart today.
A pure heart.
That's all I'm longing for, Jesus. A heart that follows on after thee. Oh, Lord, a pure heart. That's what all I'm longing for. A heart that follows on after thee. Oh, a heart that I. Your word, heart that I.
sweet aroma of worship.
Hallelujah!
Rises from your throne.
A sweet aroma this evening, this morning to God.
A sweet aroma of worship. Rises from your throne.
Oh, hallelujah! Surely around you.
Oh, surely around it, His throne comes down. Surely around it, the door to heaven is found.
Oh, enter in this morning.
And we know His standing. Holy crown, He's here.
Surely around it, surely around it,
the soul comes down.
Surely it's here, surely around it,
the door to heaven is far.
Oh, let's enter in,
and we know we are standing on holy ground.
Surely around it, God is here this morning.
Surely around it, His throne comes down. Surely around it, the door to heaven is found. And we know His name.
For total healing.
Amen.
Thanking all the saints for standing in the gap in prayer and for their works. May the Lord grant you also the desires of your hearts. I've never been this sick all my life. It was truly a dramatic and scary experience. Glory be to the Lord. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers from them all until it's your time to go. Amen. Prayer request, let's please remember Brother Andris' mother in Lithuania. She's under pressure from her family against the message that she's believed. Her husband won't let her worship freely, and this has put her under pressure, and she's asking for prayer. Remember, we baptized her. Her visitors as well, Sister Angelica's mother, God bless you.
Amen.
Amen. God bless you. Amen. And we have our good Sister Tete. God bless you, sister.
Amen.
Amen. God bless you, sister. Let's open our Bibles to Exodus chapter 3. People will be saying,
Amen.
Job's still on the ash heap. When are you going to get Job off the ash heap? Exodus chapter 3.
Amen.
People will be saying, you've worn out those pages. Let's move on. Now we'll move on when we all have the burning bush experience. Exodus chapter 3.
Amen.
Let's read from verse 4. And when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called unto him out of the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, Here am I.
Hallelujah.
And he said, Draw not nigh hither, but put off thy shoes from off thy feet, for the place whereon thou standest is holy ground.
Hallelujah.
Moreover, he said, I am the God of thy father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. And the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people which are in Egypt, and have heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows. And I'm come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians, and to bring them up out of that land and to a good land. To a large and to a land flowing with milk and honey, and to a place of the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites. Now therefore, behold, the cry of the children of Israel is come unto me, and I have also seen the oppression wherewith the Egyptians oppress them. Come now therefore, And I will send thee unto Pharaoh, that thou mayest bring forth my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. Let's read Matthew chapter 16 as well. Let's read from verse 13. Very familiar scriptures. When Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, "Who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" And he said, "Some say thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, and others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets." He saith unto them, "But whom say ye that I am?" And Simon Peter answered and said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered and said unto him, "Blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say unto thee, that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." Let's pray. Father, surely it's the truth. Our souls tell us it's the truth. Father, we sing about it, we speak about it, we read about it. It's true, Father, and how we know that it's true, that the gates of hell cannot prevail. So, Father, I pray for every soul that's here. I pray for each and every one of us gathered in this building that you'd bring us all to that place. Father, that place, that refuge, that place that Satan doesn't want people to get to. May you bless your word, bless your people this day. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Saints, you may be seated in Jesus' name. On Friday, to those that weren't here on Friday, we were looking at, well, the previous Friday, when we had communion service, we were looking at burning bush communion, and we started on this thought. And then just on this Friday, we started looking at, we called it the burning bush bride. You know, we started to see that according to the message and according to the scriptures, there's certain junctions in time. You can call them burning bush times. And there's always a reason for that. There's a certain reason why the Lord comes down in that kind of way, that kind of a time. And we saw Moses. Moses, though he was predestined, though he had all the equipment in him from when he was born, naturally speaking, you know, he had this predestinated seed. He had all the attributes that were going to be required to do the job. But we saw that Moses, though he was predestined, though he was a prophet, because a prophet is born as a prophet, but until he met the burning bush, he was just a prophet.
Hallelujah.
But when he met the burning bush, he became a burning bush prophet.
Amen.
And once he was a burning bush prophet, he now fulfilled what he was called to fulfill. You know, and at this junction in time when God came down, God now came, and all that Moses had been taught before, all the scripture that his mother had told him and people had told him, and all the things which were truth, and he had believed them in a sense. But when he had this experience now, that message which he had sat under, that message which he grew up under, it became a burning bush message. It was a different kind of a message because, you know, before he could read the scriptures and maybe there could be a little bit of this and a little bit of that which the Lord would do for him. But at that time, when he came into the presence of the angel, when he came into the presence of the burning bush, those things which he might have meditated on many times before. Now, things that he might have read and things that people might have told him of many times before. But all of a sudden, they became different. All of a sudden, those things which people had told him were pertaining to him became so personal to him. And in the presence of that angel, he would say, "But you know, I've read this before, but now it's so real. Now this now, I can now understand this. I can see that this pertains to me." And that's the difference that it made. And that's why the message to Moses became a burning bush message. And once it became a burning bush message and he became a burning bush prophet, now he could fulfill his purpose. And that was to go and pull out a people that he brought now to Mount Sinai. He brought deliverance to the people and he brought these people. Now the same burning bush came down on the top of Mount Sinai. And if it had have been the right dispensation, because it wasn't, Mount Sinai can never produce a burning bush bride. Now we saw that on Friday. We're speaking about there's a bride and there's a burning bush bride. You know, the bride is the elect before they meet the burning bush. You see, but the burning bush bride now is the same people once they met the burning bush. And it makes a big difference. And the prophet now brought the people to Mount Sinai, but Mount Sinai couldn't produce the goods. You know, you can't under the blood of bulls and goats and under the law. The law can never produce a burning bush bride. No, you can never get people into the right condition by the law, by trying to scare people and threaten people and all that. So when they came, then the burning bush came down. But this time the manifestation was thunder and lightning and all the things that took place. The people were scared and they said, well, we don't want to go into that burning bush. You go and then you come and tell us what God said. And the prophet was the greatest mistake they ever made. Amen. They should never have accepted that. No, because God had sent them grace. God had sent them a burning bush. God had sent them a burning bush prophet. God had sent them a burning bush message. And now the burning bush himself was there. And God spoke to the people. And the people should have said, no, we don't want to change the system here. This is all started by grace. This was all God's grace to us up to now. But now you're putting it on us and we have to keep all of these laws and commandments. And the prophet says, they should have turned it down and said, no, we want to continue under a grace program.
Amen.
And if they have continued under grace, the Lord had brought them up because he wanted them to be a peculiar people.
Amen.
He wanted, naturally, Israel was his wife. That's what he calls them. He wanted them to be a burning bush bride as well. But under the law, they couldn't do that. But Paul says that we are called unto Mount Zion.
Amen. Amen.
You know, so the whole purpose of the bride is to be a burning bush bride. And that's why the prophet came, and that's why the burning bush came down on the mountain, and that's why the message went forth. It was all for one purpose, was for God to bring those people out, to separate a people so they would become a people of the burning bush. So they would be a people that now would have that experience and would come into that presence. And it wasn't to finish then, because the whole purpose of all of this coming of the burning bush and all that God did was to bring a people to the inheritance.
Amen.
That's why he says, I've come down to bring my people to a land, yeah, which flows with milk and honey. And that's the whole purpose. Whenever God comes down in this way, at these certain junctions in time, God comes to separate a people. He comes to separate his people from the rest of the people so he can reveal himself to the people. But then he himself wants to come in that burning bush to his people so that he can equip his people so they can go now and possess the inheritance. And until the prophet became a burning bush prophet, Moses, he couldn't possess his inheritance. Now he couldn't go and fulfill his destiny, his purpose. Though it was spoken of him, though there were prophecies, Abraham had spoken of him, though he was born a peculiar birth, and though there was deliverance in the days of his youth, all these things that took place, but he could never come to be that which God wanted him to be until he came to this predestined experience with God. That God, the unchangeable God, working in an unexpected way, an unexpected time, an unexpected place. Like we said on Friday, he wasn't in church. He was on the backside of the desert. He was out on his own. And it was God's choosing. God chose this junction in time because God had a purpose that he wanted to be fulfilled. And God came down in the burning bush and he attracted the attention through the supernatural, through this fire that burnt that never got consumed. And through this bush that this fire was burning in, that the bush never got consumed. And this attracted the attention of Moses. And God will always come down to attract the attentions of his people. But Moses now had to approach in a certain way. He had to come with obedience. He had to take off his shoes that speaks of humility. He had to come on holy ground. He had to obey. He had to respond to what God was doing. And then God now could continue to unfold this threefold program to Moses. There was the first pull and the second pull and the third pull of this burning bush message. But the end of this message was to bring this burning bush people into the land that God had prepared for them, to bring them to an inheritance. And that's why there was this unfolding of the burning bush going from the prophet to the people until Joshua now, he has his burning bush experience and Caleb has his burning bush experience. Then Caleb can say, give me my mountain. And Joshua can go forth and he has this burning bush experience. He says, but now Moses is dead. How am I going to stand in the shoes of a man like this? And God comes down and gives him a burning bush experience and says, don't fear. Yeah. As I was with Moses, so shall I be with you. No man shall stand before you all the days of your life. Yeah? So he, and unfolds to him, now you must go and divide to the people the inheritance and so forth. So this was something that was unfolding itself all the way down until each and every one of God's people in that age We're in the inheritance.
Amen.
And friends, this program's not going to finish until every single one of us are in our inheritance.
Yes.
That's what the burning bush came to the prophet for. That's what the burning bush brought a message for. That's why the burning bush comes and attracts your attention and
Hallelujah.
Calls you onto holy ground, because he wants to bring you to your inheritance as well. He wants to bring us to the inheritance. In the message, have faith in God, the prophet says about a Moses being taught in all the wisdom of the Egyptians. Same like us. You know, he had 40 years of teaching under his mother and so forth. But one day, while he was herding Jethro's sheep, running from Egypt, running from the task, he thought he'd go back to work and let it all go. The prophet always speaks from experience. He's 1958.
Amen.
1956, the prophet came off the field because he was $15,000 in debt. And he went and got his old, wanted to get his old job back. Until the end, he couldn't get his old job back at the public service. So he went and started working with Banks Woods, breaking down buildings, moving buildings for that season when he came and preached in a veil. And then the Lord had to come down with the burning bush experience again and reveal to him the tent vision, reveal to him the third pull, show him the great crowd, show him what was to come, to take him out of that junction where he was discouraged and he was feeling, but look, it's getting nowhere. This thing hasn't come to what I thought it was supposed to be. But friends, it's the burning bush that makes the difference. It's the burning bush. And he was in his bedroom. He came home and he had told Billy Paul and he told Sister Mita that I'm, you know, going to give up, go back to my job. And then he said, I was crying and all the family were crying and they were saying, Daddy, but I think you're making a great mistake. And he said, no, I'm being honest. I told the Lord that if he didn't meet off all my needs, I was coming. If I had to beg the people for money, I was coming off the field. And he so faithfully from 1948 watched over my needs up to now. He says, but this last meeting in California, I went $15,000 in debt. Now there was a purpose for that.
Amen.
You see, it was one of those junctions. Friends, when things go wrong, don't look at it like it's going wrong. Many times when things go wrong, it's actually going right. It's actually setting you up. It's a junction. And in the junctions, expect the burning bush. Because he normally comes down in those junctions to move the program from one stage to another. But Satan will want to come down to us in those junctions so that we think everything's going wrong. That things aren't going the way that they should. All things work together for good. The brother Vlad was speaking the other day of how, you know, when he was trying to get back from Slovakia and the train was 10 minutes late, the first one, they got on the train. Next place I get to, it's 25 minutes late, the train. And he starts thinking, but hey, I'm going to miss the flight and all that. He says, and everything, all the accumulation of time which they lost when they got to the final station, the last train was 25 minutes late. And it made up for all the time which they had missed.
Amen.
And he got there just on time. And I said that, you know, like the song says, when Jesus is 4 days late, he's just in time. He's still on time. And when things are going bad, don't react. Don't make quick decisions and then wait. Like the prophet that night, he says, everybody went to bed and everybody was crying. It was about 1 o'clock in the morning. He says, I went down and I knelt down and said, Father, I think I made a failure here. He says, and I prayed, and he says, and about 2 hours later, he came to me. And he showed me a great lake of crystal clear water, you know, pretty and green. And he says, and he told me, I'll teach you how to fish. You see, and then it started to unfold to the next stage. It wasn't the end. It was just a junction to move things from one stage to another. And that's what Moses was in as well. He came to this junction. You know, he had seen and heard and been delivered and had all these things in the days of his youth. But he got to the stage now that he thought, well, let me just give it all up and just go and look after some sheep. Yeah. But he wasn't ordained just to look after sheep. So, you know, it's like we were speaking about at home the other day. Moses could never have been satisfied in the backside of the desert. You can't be. If there's a seed in you, if there's a call on your life, if there's a sacred commission for you, you can try to go and get big in business and you can go and try to, you know, spend your life in all these other things. But if there's a call on your life, you'll never be satisfied. You can never. And you can imagine how Moses was feeling that day. And the prophet says, because he had tried in himself without having any experience. He says, teaching's all right, but the letter killeth. It's the spirit that gives life. And in the presence of that burning bush, he knew more about God in 5 minutes than he'd been taught in 40 years. What was it? It was an experience. He didn't just have a letter to read, or the laws to read, or the books to read, but he had an experience that God still lived.
Amen.
The God of Abraham was just as alive in that day, in that foreign land, as he was when he had spoken to Abraham or to Adam. And that's a revelation, friends. That the same one who speaks to you, the same one who comes and visits you, is the same one who came to Adam. Is the same one who came to Abraham. Is the same one who came to Moses. He's just moving his program along. And that was the revelation that he got. He says, it doesn't matter what land I'm in. I'm in a strange land. It doesn't matter. Because he's the same here as he was when he met Adam. He's the same as when he met Abraham. And that was the revelation. That is what it took. This is what he says in the message, Faith. He says, now, Moses, 40 years of religious training by his mother. 40 years of military might in his hands. How to whip a nation. How to conquer. Took 40 years to take it out of him. But once out there in the wilderness alone, one day, he came face to face with God in a burning bush. Amen. Better equipped in 5 minutes than in 40 years. Before, he was a coward, dying 1,000 deaths. No, when you've let God's people down, you've let God down, you know, and the devil gets on your case, you'll be dying 1,000 deaths. You'll be thinking of all that could have been. You'll be thinking of all the opportunity that you had. You'll be thinking, but maybe it's passed me by like Moses. Maybe it's never going to come. Maybe, like we saw on Friday, he lost the vision of deliverance. He lost the vision of freedom. He started to think to himself, but maybe this freedom that I dreamed of, that my mother taught me of for the people, maybe it's never going to come to pass. You know, he was dying 1,000 deaths at the backside of the desert. And the prophet says, but after meeting God, he wished he had 1,000 lives to die for Christ. That's the difference that it made. Instead of dying 1,000 deaths, he wanted 1,000 lives now so that he could fulfill this purpose that had been given to him. He says, now he was ready to go. There was nothing could stop him. Though he had no army, God took the army away from him. Yeah. Though his education was no good to him. All of his training, he realized, it's not going to do me any good now. He couldn't fight. He had no sword. He didn't have any warriors. He didn't have any chariots to back him up as far as the world knew. You see, he had a different backup now. Now, once he had this burning bush experience, there was something to back him up. And friends, it's the same as you and I. Now, when you really meet him in your call, in your life, now you receive something that's going to back you up. When you stand against the devil, something backs you up. You see, you might look at yourself and you might look at how, you know, your faith muscles, like the prophet did that day, might say, but I'm not able to face up to this big man with the three-cornered stick. But you'll have something that backs you up. And the moment you start to step out in that, you'll find there's something that backs you up. There's something beyond the natural. There's something in the supernatural realm. And Moses, before, there was nothing to back him up. When he went and tried to kill that Egyptian and buried him in the sand, nothing backed him up. There was no supernatural to back him up. But after he met the burning bush, wherever he went, there was something that backed him up.
That's right.
And that's what we want, friends. That's what you want inside of your life. That when sickness comes, you want something to back you up. No, when trouble comes, things you don't understand, you want something that comes and backs you up. And that's what Moses got at the burning bush. And he says he had come face to face with God, with an experience, who had an armored angels of all eternities to stand by him. And as Moses went his way down with his wife on the little old mule, I believe that 10,000 times 10,000 of angels rode down those dusty roads with him because he had an experience. Our friends, you'll never be on your own. That's the thing. So he continues on, the prophet, now speaking about this schooling that Moses received. God gave Moses a particular type of schooling. No, because if God is going to use you for something, he's going to train you up for that. No, the world had tried to give him a schooling. His parents had tried to give him a schooling. Like with Paul and Paul a prisoner, you know, all the ambitions of his parents and giving him all the schooling, all the training that they could. But God had to send him to Arabia. First, God had to meet him in a burning bush and then send Paul out to Arabia and give him the real schooling. Then he became the real prophet messenger. He became a burning bush prophet messenger. And friends, there's only three of them in the scripture. There's only Moses, there's Paul, and there's Brother Branham.
Right.
These three great junctions in time.
Yes.
And you'll see the burning bush would come down, the pillar of fire would come down. And though the people had their own ideas, their own ambitions, but this was the junction in their lives that turned them completely around.
Amen.
This was the junction in their life that really set them on a course. As we saw on Friday, that energized the promises to them, that put something inside of them, that they went now and fulfilled things which they never would have dreamed that they could fulfill. It was because of these junctions in time. Now, where we make our mistake is by our approach.
Yes, sir.
Especially our young people have seen that. We all want the scientific approach.
Yes, sir.
And the prophet, whenever he speaks about the burning bush, he says, if Moses had have gone with the scientific approach, he never would have received anything from the burning bush. And this is a challenge I'm really putting to every young person here today. I'm putting you to the challenge today to do exactly what the prophet says. And I guarantee you something will happen to you. But be careful. Listen how the prophet says it. He says, what if Moses, when he saw the angel in the bush burning, what if he would have said, I'll pull some of these leaves off, take them to the laboratory, find out what kind of a chemical has been sprayed on these leaves that they do not burn. You see, we've been brought up with an education, friends. We're brought up to be analytic in our mind. We're brought up, we have to prove things scientifically. You'll never meet God like that. As long as that dominates your mind. As long as that dominates your approach, you're wasting your time. Because God hides himself in simplicity. He hides himself from the wise and the prudent of this world. Anybody reveals himself to babes, such as would learn. So we can overcome that scientific approach. Overcome the intellectual approach and just take God at his word. And just say, I'm going to come like a babe. I'm just going to come God's provided way. It's absolutely impossible for you not to meet him. It's impossible because it says God hides himself, but then he reveals himself. God wants to reveal himself. But if we come like we know more than God, we know more about God than God knows about himself. You know, we know more about where man came from than God knows where man came from. We know more about the universe and the Big Bang than God knows about the universe. We think we know more. God just hides himself. He completely hides himself. And he can be so real to one person, yeah? And the next person sitting next to you, it's a complete mystery to them. He completely doesn't reveal himself to the next person. It's the approach. It's the approach, but Satan knows this. And that's why Satan starts with us when we're young. And especially in this age of unbelief that we're living in. He gets a hold of our children. He gets a hold of us when we're young. And he teaches us all of this science, all of this evolution, all of these other things. And they teach it to us as fact. Don't call the theory of evolution.
Yes, that's right.
But in school they'll tell you it's a fact.
That's right.
They lie to us, friends. They lie to us. You know, they take, we were speaking at home with Esther the other day about Christianity has nothing to fear from science. Science is knowledge. That's what science means, knowledge. There's nothing, if we study the human cell, we have nothing to fear in the Bible, in the message, if you study the human cell. But it's the interpretation that people put on it now. When people come and try to tell us that this must have happened by some primordial soup. You know, that there were these chemicals mixing together after the great, you know, days of the volcanoes and so forth. And maybe lightning now struck that primordial soup and proteins came forth. And over chance and time, somehow all of these little simple building blocks came together to form such a complexity. You see, and friends, if you've never met the burning bush, you'll believe that. You'll believe it. You'll say, well, it must be true because everybody else believes that this is true. But why don't I believe it? Why don't believers here believe it today? Because we met the one who made these things. We were there. We met him. He made himself real. I know the Bible's true, not because of how people study Hebrew and Greek and people say this. I know the Bible's true because what it says I did and it worked. It worked. I met him on those sacred sands. I know that Jesus Christ is the same. It doesn't matter how you want to tell me all about evolution and that. I know you can't tell me that. You'll say, but it's not right. No, he hid himself from you because you're too wise. But I became simple. I became like a little child and he revealed himself to me. That's why I know the burning bush experience was true to Moses. That's why I believe Paul met him on the way to Damascus. My experience may not have been as dramatic as Paul's, but my experience was just as real to me as it was to Paul. That's the difference, you see. That's why when you get down to these great scientific ages, like the days of Noah, as it was in the days of Noah, when they could shoot the skies and show that, no, there's no water up there, those are the junctions he comes down in the burning bush. Because the only defense to us is the burning bush. We can't outwit them, friends. We can't outthink them. Yeah, we can't outreason them. So God says, I'll go beyond reasoning. I'll come down in the burning bush. And I'll draw the attention in the supernatural. I bring a first pull and a second pull. I'll draw the attention of my people and my sons and my daughters, because there's something inside of them, there's a deep inside of them that's able to submit itself, that's able to overcome the human reasoning and intellect. There's something that's a deep inside of there that's always been seeking for this deep that's in the supernatural. You find there's something inside of you, you'll just approach it just in simplicity. And you meet the reality of it. And friends, the Bible says, when the enemy comes in like a flood, God raises a standard. That's the raised standard. There's no other raised standard. It's not in getting all the messages and teaching them to our young people, though we must do that. It's not in taking the Bible and showing them the truth of the Bible and proving it by archaeology and proving it by history. That's all got its place. But friends, we can't outdo the children of Cain. We can't. For wisdom, for cunning, for intellect. Jesus says, the children of the kingdom, yeah? The children of the world are wiser than the children of the kingdom in their generation. So what makes the difference? Is the burning bush. Is you've got to meet the burning bush. That is when Brother Donnie Reagan preached that message at the camp meeting I watched when he went to Tim Pruitt's camp meeting about the failings of intellectual faith. And all these people who depart from the message because somebody challenges the vision of the prophet. Yes. Friends, if you've never met the burning bush, you'll doubt the prophet. Yes. But if God sends a burning bush prophet and he brings a burning bush message and that burning bush message leads you to meet the burning bush, how are you ever going to doubt that message? You're going to know this message works. I applied this message and it worked. And I met the burning bush. But if you never met the burning bush, like some people are looking at me like I'm crazy today. It's true. People will look and say, but this guy's crazy. I remember once there came a visitor in church and we were preaching about the rapture, about the body change, and they started laughing. I don't know if you saints remember, it was a girl who came in. And afterwards, she was laughing, and someone said, why are we laughing? I said, those people actually believe they're going to be changed. It was so strange to her that, this is madness. How can you think that you're just going to be changed? In a... When you meet the burning bush, you'll believe you can be changed. You believe you can be changed. Because when the burning bush came down in Genesis 18 and Abraham had his final big burning bush experience and that manifestation, Abraham believed he was going to be changed. And then he was changed. It's like that. But we make it too complicated. This is a burning bush message, friends. This message should bring us to the burning bush. Hallelujah. If you're using this message for anything else, friends, we're not using it for the right thing. Yes. And in our sincerity and all this, we try to teach people, try to indoctrinate people, try to say all of these things to people. Yet the important thing is the burning bush. Because it's a burning bush believer that's going to make it all the way. That's that quote I keep quoting that the prophet says, the burning bush believer, nothing will move them off the front line. It doesn't matter what the devil brings. Doesn't matter what science will prove tomorrow. Science so-called, like Paul said. You're not going to move a burning bush believer. Because that burning bush believer, when he's confused, he just goes back into the presence of the burning bush. And then he finds, oh God, you're still as real as you were. Good. And then you come out and you face up to the challenge again. It's not wisdom, friends. If you find a believer who's overcome through years, it's not wisdom. It's not that. They know the way to the burning bush. They know their way. That when the going gets tough and the devil's trying to give them a kicking. And there's all this discouragement like it was with Moses. And you're thinking, let me give up this and just go and look after my father-in-law's business. My father-in-law's sheep. What turned him around was the burning bush. And friends, every single time it'll happen the same way. And this is the antidote to Satan's Eden. When Satan has perfected his Eden, his intellectual Eden, his religious Eden, his scientific religion, this is the answer. We don't have any other answer. We can't take Brother Bram's grammar, yeah, and think we can challenge these great theologians with Brother Bram's grammar. We can't. But friends, the burning bush hid in that grammar. You follow that burning bush message with its grammar, it'll bring you to a burning bush experience. Because the burning bush message came to a burning bush prophet to bring a burning bush people to the inheritance. That's what it's for. And it's not going to stop burning until we have the inheritance. Until we have the fullness of our inheritance, he's going to keep coming down, attracting our attention. We're going to keep taking off our shoes. It's going to reveal some more to us. He's going to move us on to the next junction. When now we start hitting a rut once again, now the devil starts taking advantage. You're going to find the burning bush is going to come down again. Why? It's his program. It wasn't Moses' program. This was God's program. It was God's predestined program. So the prophet says, what if Moses would have taken them to the laboratory to find out what kind of a chemical had been sprayed on those leaves that they did not burn? God would never have talked to him. And the moment you think you know better than the Bible, you're wasting your time. You are never going to meet God. I'm telling you the truth. The moment you're a critic of his word, because God and his word are one. The moment that you think you know better than the prophet in this age, yeah, you know better. I understand better than that man. You are on very, very treacherous ground, I tell you. I don't want to be on that ground. You know, people think they're smart in that condition. You're not smart in that condition. You're doomed in that condition. Unless some real grace comes and ministers you into some humility, some simplicity so that you can take off your shoes and approach this the right way, oh, you're just going to get harder and harder and harder. Because the devil's just going to give you more and more so-called proof. More and more ammunition to feed your unbelief. Because if you want to unbelieve, disbelieve, Satan's going to give you plenty to feed your unbelief. But if you want to have faith, God's going to give you plenty to feed your faith. It just depends what we're coming here for. To a genuine believer coming here today, you're coming because you wanted to go forward in your experience. You're coming with an expectation. You're coming. You're wanting God to speak to you. You're wanting God to overshadow your soul. So that when you go home, you want to get in the word, get in prayer, get into burning bush fellowship like we spoke on Friday. You wanted to get into something that takes you deeper, takes you further, makes it more real to you in your experience. Gives you the victory, gives you the vision of freedom once again. To overcome what you need to overcome. That's what we've come for. But other people didn't come here for that today. That's why they look at their watch and say, hope he's not going to take too long today. No, he hasn't moved too far. Many pages down on his notes. So God doesn't ever respond to a scientific approach. And that's why there's so few people who really know God in this age. It's scientific religion. And the prosperity preaching and all of that, yeah? But what is the big, big thing you can judge things by? Yeah, but there came the burning bush, yeah? That was the sign. But when he took them to Mount Sinai, there was the voice of the sign. Now came the burning bush message. You see, in Pentecost, when the prophet came with the first and second pool, they wanted the sign. They wanted this ministration of the burning bush to the first pool, to the body, yeah? Taking people by the hand. And the second pool to the spirit, the minds of the people, discerning the thoughts and minds. But when it unfolded now into the third stage, which was the voice of the sign, which is the whole purpose of the burning bush coming, is to bring the voice of the sign. When it came to the voice of the sign, like Moses, they didn't want it. People said, we don't want this man Moses. Hey, he tells us how to dress. He tells us an abomination for a woman to dress like a man and a man to dress like a woman. That's what the burning bush message said. That was the voice of the sign. Moses told them, you can't marry unbelievers. Yes, yeah? Amen. He told them all these kind of things. Yes, and in the end, the people said, well, you know, we liked the burning bush. We liked all the life story and all the experiences in that. but we don't like this. But that was the whole purpose, was the voice of the sign. Amen. And that's when they said, hey, this man Moses, let's choose someone. Let's go back to Egypt. And that's when Dathan and Abram and Korah and all these things start to rise up because of the voice of the sign. Amen. But to a believer, that's your bread. Amen. To a believer, that's what you want, is the voice of the sign. Amen. Whether there's nothing else that you see, as long as you're feeding on the Shekinah bread. Because when you take that burning bush message and you go into the presence of the burning bush, it becomes manna. Amen. It becomes food for your soul. It becomes all that you need to overcome. But to the charismatic world, they didn't want that. They said, William Branham, you know, when he went forth in his healing, that he was very powerful, but then he went wrong. Where did he go wrong? What's the voice of this sign? Where he went wrong is where we think he went right. We say that's where he went right, and they said that's where he went wrong. Yeah, but if anybody would just approach it the right way. And I read one testimony of one man who used to be with Brother Murray. He says, oh, he was such a long-winded preacher. People were falling asleep in his meetings. The genuine believer wasn't falling asleep in his meetings. Our friends, you can hear it. You can hear it sometimes when he preaches. Like I said, Jezebel religion, you'll find that there's a lot of people not enjoying what he's saying. But there's certain people there that are. And that's how he went for one big campaign once. When that time that girl who was an alcoholic, I can't remember her name. Maybe somebody will remember her name. Rosella Griffith, yeah, when she was an alcoholic. That's when she got delivered that time. And in that revival, there were two of them, yeah? There was Rosella and there was another girl that used to dance with Fred Astaire or something like that. Yeah? And the prophet coming from that meeting, you know what he said in the car going back? He said, I don't know what else took place there, but the two that I was sent to, they were delivered. Amen. Imagine a great meeting campaign. And the prophet was just sent to two of them. Yes. Two of them received the voice of the sign. The multitudes would receive the sign, but only two would receive the voice of the sign. But that's the bride's food. That's the eagle food, is the voice of the sign. That's what it is. So the prophet says about the burning bush. He says God would never have talked to him. But Moses took off his shoes. That speaks of humility. Those angels who cover their feet, the prophet said, speaks of humility in his presence. You've got to take off your shoes. You can't come with your big gum boots into the presence of God. No, tramping on holy ground like that. You've got to walk softly. And you've got to walk humbly. You've got to realize these are sacred things. God wants to reveal himself to me. God wants to speak something to me. Our friends, you've got to come the right way. He says, Moses took off his shoes and he came up reverently. And he talked to the burning bush and it talked back to him. That's the way we do God today. We don't try to scientifically this and scientifically that. We just take God at his word.
Amen.
And it works every time. Amen. But that's not easy. That means an overcomer.
Amen.
You've got to overcome. Because sometimes you're going to think you know better than the Bible. Sometimes you're going to think you know better than Brother Branham. You're going to have a better solution than he brought. You're going to have a better idea. It's going to fit you better, you think, than what the Word says. But see the fruits at the end. That's what Eve thought as well. She thought this is a better idea. Why is God trying to hold us back from this sweet something? This tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And friends, look at the results that it brought. And it does the same every time. But you've got to approach him the right way. There's nothing wrong with studies. But once somebody has a burning bush experience, it doesn't matter what you study. Doesn't matter you study psychology. Doesn't matter you study what biology, whatever you want to study. And they tell you all these things because you've been knowing this is just the intellectual theories of intellectual men. And so many of these things which people died for in science have been disproved. Like Darwin with all of his theory, science is now just disproving the whole thing. Yeah? When Darwin said, you know, I was speaking about it at home as well. I gave Brother Will the DVD, that one. When Darwin said, you know, everything came from simplicity. Everything came from a single cell. Yeah? And everything must have, you know, whatever, meiosis, mitosis, whatever, broke from there and everything formed into complexity. It was fine for Darwin to say that and for the world to accept it until they made the electron microscope.
Yes.
And then, remember, advances in science, all as parallel advances in the spiritual world. So when God sends a prophet in the 1960s and he starts breaking into realms which the generations before didn't, here comes electron microscope. And then they start searching inside of the human cell.
Yes. Yes.
And according to Darwin, it's supposed to be simple in there.
Yes.
And the deeper they look, the more complex it becomes.
Amen.
And then they say, well, look, we may as well take most of what Darwin is saying and throw it out the window because it doesn't fit what science now has discovered. But imagine the people that would have fought you in the 60s and 70s and 80s, yeah? To say definitely evolution, they've proved it in science. Yeah, now you can take the books back to them and say, what? What do you say about your evolution now? Now, it's not the same with the message. It's not the same with the scriptures. They say the Bible is an anvil that has worn out the hammers of so many critics. It still stays the same. They wear out their hammers. I'm going to destroy this thing, and they end up destroying their hammers every single time. Friends. And a lot of people, yeah, well-educated people. I went to university. You know, we're not dummies. We know what science says. I go and read what they say.
Amen.
It's not like we're brainwashed.
Yeah.
We're not brainwashed, but we found something real.
Amen.
We found something real.
Amen.
We found something that has the answer that science didn't have. Because all the studies we did in science had never satisfied the soul.
That's right.
It never satisfied the question, where did I come from and where am I going?
Amen.
It never made me comfortable thinking of the thought of death.
When
I thought of that door at the end of the journey before I became a Christian, I was scared. I knew I'm not ready to pass through into that destination. What happens if there is a world beyond? What happens if there is a judgment and a heaven and a hell and a God who's waiting there now and we have to give an account to him? I wasn't going to take a chance. I didn't want that. And that's why inside of myself I knew I'm not ready. I'm not ready. And everybody here, your soul is telling you the same thing. But the problem is you'll reason with your mind. But at the end of the journey, your mind passes away like Brother Lubanza showed, and your soul now starts to speak to you. And you're not a privileged person anymore. Because you'll realize I'm going into the next world naked. Naked, I came into this world. Naked, I'm leaving this world. You're not supposed to be like that. You're supposed to be clothed spiritually with something that gives you a key into the next dimension. A key so that you can break forth into the presence of God to go to your reward. Now, science cannot explain that. They try to explain it away. They'll try to say all these things. It's just chemical reactions and whatever. And a lot of people will accept it. But you're a genuine believer, you won't accept it.
That's right. Amen.
And they'll get frustrated and they get red in the face and the steam comes out the ears and they stamp their feet on the ground because you won't accept it. Say, why can't you accept it? Because you met something that was real. It's as simple as that.
That's right.
Is you know the Bible's true. Any believer here could come and give a testimony who really met Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Who really met Jesus in the forgiveness of your sin. You know salvation is real. You know the woman who touched his garment is real. Because you touched and became a supernatural something into your soul. You know it from experience. It's not just because it's in the book that you know it's true. Although that's enough basis. But you put it to the test. You know from a similar experience that that is true. Because it happened to me. And that is the antidote in this age. There's no other antidote. The prophet says we don't need any laboratory test. God's word is sufficient for the test. So instead of going to the laboratory to try to prove God's not right, why not just go the other way and say, let me take the Bible and go and see if God is right. You see, there's two ways we can approach this. The devil wants you to go that way. God wants you to go this way. So I'm putting the challenge to every young person today. Try this. That one hasn't worked very well in your life. Because you're confused. Yeah? You don't really know what you believe. Whereas this one, take God in his word yourself. Approach him. Take off your shoes. Approach him humbly and say, Lord, if you are real, declare yourself. There's so many testimonies, you'll get them on the internet, of Muslims now coming to Christ. Who did exactly that. They got confused in Islam, in Saudi Arabia, those countries where they couldn't even get a Bible. Yeah. And they cried out. I saw the true testimony of one Muslim who became a Christian minister praying for the sick. Very powerful testimony of how he was in the hospital. He got this incurable illness. And in the hospital, he started to question now the Quran. He started to question what he believed. Because it didn't give him what he needed when he faced up to death. And he cried out and he said, God, if you are real, reveal yourself to me. It's a powerful, true testimony. And that night, He woke up and he saw this being at the end of his bed, all clothed in light. And you know what the voice said to him? I am Jesus. I am the God of the Christians. That's what he declared himself to. And that man became a believer. And Jesus, and the Lord healed him. And now he's fled from the God to the west and he's praying for the sick.
Amen.
It's very powerful. Amen. Any seeking soul, anybody who comes the right way, God is obligated to respond.
Amen.
It's impossible for God not to respond. But if you go to search the message to prove, I'm going to prove that this is wrong, you're going to find lots of things to feed your unbelief. You're going to find a lot of things. If you're going to try to take the Bible and say, I'm going to prove this is wrong, that God has made it in that way.
Yes.
That if you approach it as a skeptic, you'll find a lot to feed your skepticism. You think of the signs that God gave to Moses. Is it not strange that when God now wanted to give him the first sign, he said, cast down your stick, it'll turn into a serpent. The same thing that Jannes and Jambres could do. Could God not have given Moses something which was so powerful?
Yes.
Maybe God said, okay, go down to Egypt. I'm going to come down and fire on the top of the pyramid. Yeah? I'm going to speak from the pyramid. Everybody would have believed. Yeah, for a season. But God now, he knows, no. I reveal myself to the humble.
Amen.
And I hide myself from the scientific.
Amen.
I hide myself from the wise. So what I'm going to do, this sign that's going to convince Israel, I'm going to allow these ones to impersonate it. So that Mr. Skeptic and Mr. Unbeliever standing there in the courts that day, when Moses came and said, hey, this is powerful. Look what God allows me to do. He throws it down and becomes a snake, a serpent. And all Israel say, oh, God has visited us, yeah? What does Pharaoh say? It's a magician's trick. Jannes and Jambres, come and do the same. And they did the same. That didn't change Moses. Why? Because he had met the burning bush. But it changed a lot of other people in Pharaoh's court. And it hardened Pharaoh's heart. Instead of being something that would have turned his heart because he was wise in his own eyes. Instead, the Lord allowed it to come and harden his heart. You say, God's not right. God is 100% right.
Amen.
Who are we? We are but ants. Yeah?
Amen.
We are but insignificance. We are like the grass of the field, the Bible says. And we think we can speak to this super intelligence, this great fire who burns and is never consumed, who is I am, the same in every generation. We want to correct him. No wonder he looks down at us and says, okay, I'll strengthen you in your folly because you receive not the love of the truth. I give you over to believe a lie and be damned by it. And that's the sad thing about it. You've got to be careful in your approach, especially in these junctions of time. Because Jesus said, when you speak against me doing these things, I'll forgive you. But when the burning bush comes down in the church, yeah? When he, the Holy Ghost, has come and does these same burning bush signs and you call it the devil, there's no forgiveness in this world or in the world to come. That's how serious these junctions are. And that's how much the devil fights the intellect of us, the intellect of young people especially. And it tries to bring all these critics and all these things that people say. That's why I'm saying the antidote is one. You've got to meet him. You have to meet him. If the prophet says about being called, you know the quote when he says, you must be called. If you're not called, you'll be defeated. You will be defeated in this mess. If it's just intellectual, if you're just believing it because somebody else told you, if you're just believing it because you've seen the photo of the pillar of fire, if you're just believing it because you saw the photo of the cloud, that's never enough.
That's
never enough. That's not going to help you to stand the test. When Satan comes with his great assault upon you, when he comes in the season of discouragement, when he comes in the season of unbelief, like with Job, when he pours himself down, taking advantage of that situation, that season, my friend, you better be built upon a rock.
Amen.
That's what Jesus said. He says, blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah. Flesh and blood didn't reveal this to you.
Amen.
But my Father which is in heaven.
Amen.
And upon this rock,
yes.
I will build my church. And the gates of hell will never prevail. It may shake you. You may be confused a little bit. You may not have an answer at the time. But just get back into the presence of the burning bush. And you find that Jesus is in the boat.
Amen.
No, he may be sleeping, but the burning bush made flesh is right there in the boat.
Amen.
And you may say, Master, don't you care that we perish? And then he wakens up again and he speaks and you find out that he's with you and he's never changed. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. That was the revelation that Moses got. So that's how the prophet says God's word is sufficient for the test. It's been proven through the years to be right every time. That's all we need. It says, but in those days, speaking of Moses' day, people were used to miracles. They had an expectation. It wasn't a Noah day like ours, a scientific age. It says they never questioned it, but today it's a constant question, which makes it hard on the weak believer. Because there's a constant questioning. No, that day there was the cloud. In California, there was a Thor rocket. Yeah? You see, God allows it like that. God could have brought the cloud on a day there was no Thor rocket down there in That's California, right. 800 miles away. Right. But to the believer, yeah, you know, the prophet spoke about this and says, is this Amen. The time?
Amen.
I'll be northeast of Flagstaff.
Amen.
I'll be taking a cockle berth to the trousers. Right. Seven angels came and so forth. But to Mr. Critic and Mr. Unbelievers trying to find some way to disbelieve, God's going to give them something.
Amen.
God's going to give them some ammunition. See, there was a Thor rocket. Now, like I said, that the amazing thing is the Thor rocket went off in the morning at 10 o'clock, whatever. Down in California. Here's the cloud coming evening time in Arizona. Yeah? Yeah? Nobody sees the cloud the whole day. It passes supposedly to Mr. Critic all over California, all over Arizona. Nobody takes a photo. Nobody recognizes, sees this cloud, this Thor rocket. Then in evening time, all of a sudden, everybody takes their photos. Why? Because it only appeared in the evening time.
Amen.
You see? But to the unbeliever, it's enough. All the unbeliever is looking for is some justification not to believe.
Amen.
Just as much as to us as a believer, all we're looking for is some justification to believe.
Amen.
It's just the way we approach these things.
Right.
You've got to take off your shoes. You've got to come the right way. If you're looking for something to feed your unbelief, there's going to be plenty. If you want to search the Bible, you're going to find contradictions there.
That's right.
God's allowed certain things inside of you that to the carnal mind, you're not going to understand it. You're going to say, but to the believer, that doesn't mean anything to you.
Amen.
You know it's real. It's a spiritual experience, this word to you. It's not just a book. It's a spiritual something behind the words on those pages. It's something which is so real to you. Now, listen what the prophet says, an angel of the Lord, Phoenix, 1951. He says, the woman, listen about approach. The woman that touched the hem of his garment got the blessing she asked for. Why? Because the same burning bush that Moses met had now become flesh. Here was the burning bush. Imagine. Here was deliverance, the power of deliverance. To deliver the captives was in Jesus, in simplicity. Yeah? Born in a manger, born in a stable, laid in a manger. Yeah? Born a questionable birth. You see how God does these things? Yeah? A virgin birth. My friend was a Satanist when I was young, used to always say that. A virgin birth. Whoever thought or heard of something so silly like a virgin birth? Now, there was something inside of me, then I would keep quiet. Because I knew that, I'm not going onto that territory. You know? We may do all the other things, but that one there, you can go that far. I'm not going that far. But there's enough there to, for Jesus. He was questioned about his birth. And look how he does it. What are those Pharisees in that say? Where was Jesus born? In Bethlehem. Yes. Then he went to Egypt and then to Nazareth. So he was Jesus of Nazareth. And then when now he does his great works, here's the big theologians there, the Pharisees. They've got ammunition. Where does it say someone will rise out of Nazareth? You see, they had ammunition. He's Jesus of Nazareth. Where does it say a prophet must come out of Nazareth? He didn't come out of Nazareth. God hid it from them. He was born in Bethlehem, and then he went to the... You see how God does these things? But to the genuine believer, if you just take off your shoes and go and investigate a little bit, you find, oh, that's what happened. He wasn't born in Nazareth. He was born in Bethlehem. It's like that with the message as well. You don't understand this, the prophet's vision of this. Wait, just take off your shoes. Let God come down, and then he comes and he goes, okay, now I understand. Okay. The people say the memorial bridge No one died at the memorial bridge the way the prophet says that he saw it, yeah?
Yes,
they
sir.
Said that. No proof. We searched all the records.
Mm.
Yeah? Nobody died. Nobody died. And they put it on their website, believe the sign.
Oh.
Yeah? Which should be called disbelieve the sign. Yeah? They put it on believe the sign. You know, they should have waited maybe another 10, 15 years for someone to die. Because here was the son of the mayor.
Amen.
Who was mayor at the time of the municipal bridge being built. And here he comes with his testimony. Yeah, I remember Brother Branham coming and speaking to my dad. And I remember my dad telling me of those people who, when the scaffolding fell and they fell in the concrete when they were building the municipal bridge. You see, Mr. Critic, Mr. Unbeliever. But you just wait. If you take off your shoes,
Amen.
God is big enough to defend himself.
Amen.
If this is a burning bush message,
yes.
God's going to defend a burning bush message. Because this burning bush message is to bring a burning bush bride to a burning bush inheritance.
Amen.
So no matter what comes in the way, friends, if we can't, let's just wait. Let's just stand still and see the salvation of God.
Amen.
And has it ever failed, friends? It's never failed. Then they say, the brown bear vision. No, it wasn't true. Brother Bram said in 1963, I'm going to go and hunt a bigger bear than the one 42-inch caribou and the big grizzly bear. Yeah? So I saw it in a vision. It was brown, bigger than anything I ever saw. Then they say, no, we saw Brother Branham. He went to Alaska, 1964, went at the end of 64, went 65. He never, ever killed a brown bear. Therefore, they quote the scripture, he spoke presumptuously. And if a prophet speaks presumptuously, he must be put to death. The problem is, Brabiskel was there.
Yes. Amen.
God will always have the testimony of a true witness.
Amen.
That someone will come and step on the scene and say, hey, guys, these guys are stepping on holy ground. They're playing with things they shouldn't play with.
Amen.
I've never said this in public before, but I'm going to explain. I was there. I'm going to explain the brown bear vision to you.
Amen.
It never fails, friends. I've never seen it fail. It'll never fail. God will watch over you. God will watch over his word. That's what God does. You know, we are his responsibility. It's not our program, it's his program. He's the one who ordained these things, not us. You know, so he's the one that's in charge of these things. He says, the woman that touched the hem of his garment got the blessing she asked for. He felt virtue God. But when them men, yeah? He's not speaking of the Roman soldiers yet. He's speaking about those temple guards that Caiaphas sent to go and arrest Jesus. Them men that knowed he was a prophet, as the woman at the well knew he was a prophet. They knew. Nicodemus knew he was a prophet. No, no man can do these things unless God is with him. The people, they knew. These temple guards, they knew. Those Pharisees, they knew. That's why there was no forgiveness for them. They weren't deceived. They knew. We don't have an answer to this. This is the same things we saw Moses do at the burning bush. And when Jesus came and said, before Abraham was, I am. Yeah? The I am that was there at the met Abraham. The I am that met Moses at the burning bush. They fought against it. That was their great mistake. If they had just kept quiet and said, okay, we don't understand these things. We can't explain these things. It would have been okay. But because they fought against it, the prophet says in the Church Age book, he says it was the fulfillment, I think, of Psalm 69. Let their names be blotted out of the records of the living. Yeah. And Brother says, when they saw that manifestation, when there was that burning bush in Jesus manifesting, bringing forth those fruits of the tree of life once again, and they knew, they couldn't answer it. They were trying to catch him with questions. They were trying to do all manner of things. They tried to get personal, speak against his background, speak against all those things. Their names were blotted out of the records of life.
Amen.
Not the common people that were deceived by them. There was still hope for them.
That's right.
But for those people that had an opportunity to come in the presence of the burning bush and they refused to take off their shoes.
That's right. Hallelujah.
You won't be a privileged person after that.
Amen.
You won't be a privileged person. It's your attitude at that kind of a season that's going to make the difference. The prophet says they should have known better. But they put a rag around his eyes. They hit him on the head with a reed and said, now, if you're a prophet, tell us who hit you. He knew exactly what they were thinking, every one of them. He knew the address. He knew where they were born. He knew what they were going through. He knew everything about them. But that kind of approach gets nothing. The only thing that it does, it brings a condemnation. It just brings a deeper condemnation to somebody. But if they could have been like the woman with the blood issue, you know, if they could have responded when they saw that supernatural, there was a some deep there that maybe she didn't fully understand, but she had heard, and she had heard of testimony. She had heard of the great healing campaigns that had taken place in that generation. And something was speaking to her and saying, take off your shoes. And she came humbly, and she came softly, and she came in. If I can, I'm not going to speak to him. I'm not going to touch him. I've got a blood issue. I don't want to defile him. But if I can just touch the hem of his garment. And the moment she came with that approach, the burning bush spoke to her.
Amen.
And said, you are healed.
Amen.
And Jesus turned around and said, who touched me? And they said, Master, you see the multitude surrounding you. How sayest thou who touched me? He said, no, it was a different kind of touch. And he looked around, and there was the woman. Then he says, woman, thy faith has saved you. Go in peace. You are healed of your plague.
Amen.
Oh, friends, it just depends on how we approach it.
Yes, sir. Amen.
Science cannot explain the prophet's healing campaigns. They can't. They can't. And they stopped trying. They stopped trying. They couldn't. But the genuine doctors in that day, remember the medical association in South Africa, they called Brother Bram. Bram says, I'm sure you don't agree. They said, Brother Bram, when it's presented like that, we can receive it. We will support you.
Amen.
And they would send the ambulances in Johannesburg. You see the photos. They would send the hard cases they couldn't deal with to the prophet's meetings.
Amen.
That's what science should be, friends. Science should know its limitation. It has its place. It's knowledge. It helps us to understand certain things. But when science meets something that's beyond its bounds, it needs to be careful. It needs to be careful of its approach. Because it brings judgment every single time when people become like that. The prophet says that they didn't feel no virtue, did they? It was the way you approach it. And when you come into the Holy Ghost, yeah? If you're looking off to somebody that's clowning with it, you see all the fanaticism, you will feel no virtue. But if you'll just get that out of your mind, get the scarecrow back. There's lots of scarecrows. But to the genuine believer, you're not scared of the scarecrow. Because you know the best seed is where the scarecrow is. When the devil puts a scarecrow, he's trying to scare you from something. That's how when the devil fights this message, friends, it proves something to me.
Amen.
The more he fights, the more I said, let me go and find out what he's fighting against.
Amen.
Why is he fighting this message so hard? You see, he's scared.
Amen.
Because a burning bush believer, Satan's no match for him.
Amen.
Or for her. No match. The devil knows that he's never been able to overcome a single burning bush believer since the beginning of time. But an intellectual believer, he has his way. Like he did with Moses before he met the burning bush. But a burning bush believer, he's a headache. She's a headache to the devil. The devil doesn't have an answer. He doesn't know what to do. The only thing he knows, like John the Baptist, let's get rid of this man. Yeah, that's what he likes. Let's stone Stephen. Let's put them to death. Let's close the doors down. Let them not preach anymore. That's what he's going to have to do in the end. He doesn't have an answer to the burning bush. Believer, he doesn't have an answer at all. That's what the prophet says. Get the scarecrow back and say, this is what you need to do. He said, get the scarecrow back and say, Lord Jesus, it's my heart. I'm coming. What will you do for me? And you will receive what you came for.
Amen.
That was in the healing lines. When the burning bush would come down into the burning bush prophet. And there was the first and second pull. Like we said on Friday, every single person that came with the right attitude into the prayer line had a burning bush experience.
Amen.
The burning bush ministered deliverance to them. Every single one of them. The prophet says, you will be revolutionized. That was the revolution. The prophet says, you receive what you came for. That's right. For blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. Is that right? It says, Oh, how wonderful he is. I'd really put that challenge to every single person here. Lay aside the scarecrow for a while. Lay aside your scientific, intellectual reasoning and understanding. Go on your knees and say, Jesus, I'm coming from my heart. Can't you do something for me? Let's put it to the test, friends. Yes. If he's God, he's going to answer you. Yes. If he doesn't answer you, then he's not God. Yes. Let's bring it to Mount Carmel again. Amen. If God is God, let him answer. Yes. If you approach him the right way and he doesn't answer, you have plenty of room on the day of judgment to say, I approached you the right way and you never answered. You can put God on trial then. But friends, God will never be guilty.
Amen.
If there's a hungry soul, a thirsty soul, somebody seeking for something that's real, you think God in heaven today is not bursting to reveal himself to that person? He's bursting to reveal. He's Jehovah. He's the one who loves to reveal himself. But it's the approach. It's how we're approaching these things. That's where the problem's coming in. Now let's look at one other thing at the burning bush, Exodus 4. Look at verse 2. I was speaking to this a little bit to Brother George the other day. It's when now you approach the burning bush the right way, yeah? And he speaks to you. If you want it to keep unfolding itself,
hallelujah,
you've got to listen and obey what it says.
Amen.
Be very careful when you come into the presence of the burning bush and he speaks to you. He's not going to unfold the full program until he speaks something to you and then you do what he says.
Amen.
And sometimes it's not easy what he says.
Amen.
Look in Exodus 4 verse 2. This is Moses there. And, and the Lord said unto him, what is that in thine hand? And he said, a rod. And he said, cast it to the ground. And he cast it to the ground and it became a serpent.
Hallelujah.
And Moses fled from before it. And the Lord said unto Moses, put forth your hand and take it by the tail. Friends. That's hard.
Amen.
Sometimes the Lord says, okay, do this now. And you'll be scared. That's a snake. Like the prophet says, the worst place you can take a snake is by the tail. Yeah, normally you take a snake by the head.
That's right.
You get a fork stick and you stick it on the head. We caught lots of snakes when we were young. You will never ever take a stick by the tail. The thing will whip around and do you in. But the Lord says, Moses, and what kind of snake was it? It was a snake like in Pharaoh's palace. It was like a cobra. Because that was the symbol of Pharaoh and his throne, was the cobra. He says, take it by the tail. Ha! Moses said, yeah, I've heard from the burning bush. What he's told me to do isn't an easy thing. But friends, you're not going any further until you do what he tells you to do. That's where we fail many times. He'll tell you, my friend, here comes a great storm in Colorado. Yeah, the prophet tells all of the believers, be careful, this is deadly. They've been speaking of this on the radio for days. As soon as you see the first speck, yeah, head back down to the camp. And now in comes the storm. Ah, the prophet can hardly see where he's going. He says, no, it's okay. I know my way back down. And then the burning bush speaks to him and says,
hallelujah,
turn and go back up.
Amen.
It's easy for us when you're reading it in our sitting having a cup of tea at home. Yeah, turn and go back. That was life and death. The prophet says he was calling me into death.
Amen.
For me to go back into that storm, there was no way I would come back out of that. He says, but I knew better. I knew, just do what he tells you to do. And there would have been no manifestation of the third pool if he didn't listen to what the burning bush told him. But it's like us. We get in the presence of the burning bush. Ah, this is wonderful. And then he speaks to you and says, hey, separate yourself. No, you don't marry that person.
Yes.
You're not allowed to do this. You're not allowed to do that. Fast, seek my face. And now we let the reasoning kick in once again. You see, now the scientific approach comes in once again. No, Moses, as soon as he picked up the serpent, what happened? He saw the glory of God.
Amen.
It turned back into a stick once again. You see, but he had to be willing to pay the price, to take that risk and pick it up to be obedient to the voice that comes from the burning bush. Friends, it never fails that.
Amen.
You know, I know that Brother George was speaking about it, about giving up his job because they wanted to keep it. It's keeping him away from services. Yeah, and so he said, look, I'm just going to give up my job. Now the human mind's going to kick in and say, but hey, what are you going to do?
Amen.
And all the people around you, they haven't been in the presence of the burning bush, they're going to speak to you as well.
Amen.
And say, look, just take it easy a little bit, you know. You don't have to be fanatical like that.
Amen.
That's why the important thing is make sure you heard the voice from the burning bush.
Amen.
Make sure you got in his presence. And so that when you come now from that presence and the challenge comes, you know that it wasn't just me here. It wasn't just my own reasoning. It wasn't just my own zeal. It wasn't me trying to manufacture something. But he told me to do this. And if he tells you to do something, he's going to back up what he told you to do. It'll never fail. It'll never fail. That's how we need to get past all of these scarecrows. Now, why does Satan hate the burning bush? Because believers who come into the presence of the burning bush receive certain attributes.
Yes, sir.
There's burning bush attributes. And Satan cannot compete with these attributes.
Amen, amen, amen.
Now, I went through all the quotes where the prophet spoke of burning bush in the last week. 269 of them, I think. If you want to read something which will really bless you, go and print out the 269 quotes where the prophet says burning bush. Now, all I want to do is just read to you the titles of some of the messages.
Hallelujah.
That he spoke of the burning bush.
Yes.
Just to show you some of the attributes that he's speaking of.
Hallelujah.
In those messages about what the burning bush will do for you. The first one, perseverance.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
A burning bush believer has perseverance.
Hallelujah.
Moses never had perseverance until he met the burning bush.
Amen.
Can you see? That's why the devil doesn't want us to come in the presence of the burning bush. He wants us to be those believers that we fly like a rocket for about 10 days, yeah? Then we run out of steam. We're going to turn the world upside down and we're singing items in church and we're bringing people to church and then a discouragement comes. And now we're sitting quietly at the back. We don't see people on Wednesday and Friday. They're just sitting quietly at the back on a Sunday. But where was the shooting like a rocket? The prophet says you were shooting like a rock and now you came down like a rock. No, you don't want it to be like that. The burning bush gives perseverance. Ah, friends, when that woman came into the presence of the burning bush, that Syrophoenician woman, she had perseverance. There was something declaring it to her, just keep pressing on. Even if he doesn't answer you now, keep pressing on. There was a deep in the burning bush that was ministering to the deep in her. And the prophet always uses in the messages perseverance.
Amen.
What are the messages that he speaks of the burning bush? Absolute.
Amen.
The burning bush is your absolute.
Amen.
It was Paul's absolute. It was Moses' absolute. It was Brother Branham's absolute.
Amen.
It's your tie post.
Yes.
When things go wrong, you can wind back to your absolute.
Amen.
And somebody, he told me to do it.
Amen.
So even if this is taking place, that's my absolute.
Yes.
My reasoning is not my absolute. My understanding is not my absolute. What he says to you from the burning bush is your absolute. And that's why to us the message is our absolute. People will say, how can you take this Kentucky grammar? How can you take a seventh grade educated man and say that's an absolute? Oh, my friend. You know, the voice behind the voice of this message is an absolute. It's the voice of the burning bush. Because the prophet, as we said on Friday, never received this message himself, just from his own understanding. He says, them revelations in the presence of that ball of fire.
Amen.
In the fifth seal. It never came from himself.
Amen.
You know, when Gordon Lindsay, if you listen to the testimony of Perry Green, Gordon Lindsay, yeah? He was a critic of Brother Branham in the end.
Yes.
He didn't like the voice of the sign. He liked the sign.
Yes.
So he invites Brother Branham to come down for this meeting, I think 1964, and Beaumont, Perry Green is there as well. And Perry Green's with some other brother, I can't remember who it was. I think it was the brother who started Spoken Word for publication, Brother Borders. It was him and Brother Borders. And Perry Green now arranges these meetings because Perry Green's starting Christ for All Nations in Africa. Yeah? And he wants Brother Branham's support. Because he knows if he wants people to support by bringing Brother Branham so that the people give him a lot of money, big crowds will come with Branham. That's all the reason that he wanted him to be there. So they go now to speak of the arrangements. Perry Green, Brother Borders go now to speak about how people will come in, how they'll go out at the end of the meeting. They sit down there with Gordon Lindsay. And Gordon Lindsay, imagine the man who wrote the book, a man sent from God, under the first and second pull. He says, you people, that man, William Branham, he's the most easily influenced person I've ever met. Imagine he had such a great ministry. Then he listens to some hermit coming out from the forest, from a cave somewhere, telling him that filthy doctrine of the serpent seed. He preached, the tapes got out, and he's ruined his ministry. And Peregrine says, I was going to say to him, did you ever listen to the message? And Brother Borders tagged me under the desk, kicked him under the desk, and told him to keep quiet. He says, so we go to the meeting that night. He says, oh, I thought it was quite a hard thing. He says, and then just when Brother Bram came, dismissed the choir all left from the platform, and there was only one person left on the platform. It was Gordon Lindsay. He said he was sitting back, you know, like this. And Brother Bram now starts preaching. And then the burning bush comes down.
Hallelujah.
Yeah. Just comes time for discernment. And Brother Branham now, he starts discerning now. Yeah. The lives of people, the secrets of people's hearts. Then he stops in the middle of the discernment and he says, is it not incredible? After the tens of thousands of times that people have seen this, then he turns around and he looks at Gordon Lindsay. Then they say, when the same angel comes to me and reveals the serpent seed, I got it from some filthy hermit. And then Bram turns back around again. You see, friends, you've got to be careful.
Amen.
You've got to be careful. You've got to know what you speak. It was an absolute, the prophet knew. I don't mind what people say about the serpent seed. I didn't get it from myself. It was revealed to me. That's why Paul would say the gospel that I preached. I don't mind what people say. It was through the revelation of Jesus Christ. That's why he's willing to pay the price. It'll be an absolute. Listen to some of the other messages as we close. The first time you find him speak of it is in God in his people.
Hallelujah.
It's the only way God gets into his people.
Yes.
You've got to meet him in the burning bush. Yes. The prophet says when Moses met him in the burning bush, then the burning bush got into Moses.
Yes.
Then Moses went down to Egypt.
Hallelujah.
The second time he preaches in expectation.
Amen.
You can't come into the presence of the burning bush and not have an expectation. Friends, when you come to church and you've got no expectation at all, you need a fresh burning bush experience. When you're just looking after the sheep at the backside of the desert, no more expectation, you need a burning bush experience. It gives you an expectation. The next time he speaks, it's in, my angel shall go before thee. Exactly the same thing. God commissioning Moses. Yeah. Where are you commissioned? Where do you ever get an absolute inside of your life? For you to know what it is that God wants you to do. Is it something that flesh and blood reveals to you? If flesh and blood reveal it to you, when things start going bad, you're going to off the battlefield. But you want it to be God commissioning Moses. God commissioning James. God commissioning David. That you know yourself personally. That he's commissioned me to believe this message. And friends, he preaches testimony of a true witness.
Amen.
How can you be a true witness of a burning bush message brought by a burning bush prophet if you've never been in the presence of the burning bush yourself? That's why you'll intellectually stand for the message and the crunch will come. And then that church in Florida had 500 people. Now all of a sudden they have 100. That means there were 100 people that had been in touch with the burning bush and 400 who hadn't. They'd been in the message, but the burning bush had never got into them.
Hallelujah.
That's when the real squeeze came down. It was a test to those people. The next one he speaks about is in deep calleth unto deep. Ah, friends, that's the deep that's calling to us now.
Amen.
Every single person, no matter the experience that you've had with God, there's a deep inside of you that desires a deeper experience with him. No matter what he's done for you, no matter how far that he's led you, there's something inside of you. There's something that's calling you to a higher place. Like Paul LaFontaine, that he sings that song, you know, I feel the pull. You can feel a pull. It's something that's drawing you on. What is that? He's calling you back into the presence of the burning bush once again. What about conference with God?
Hallelujah.
Every time he preaches conference with God, he preaches about the burning bush conference.
Hallelujah.
And like we said on Friday, that's what we need.
Amen.
You don't need to crack your head about your problems. You need a burning bush conference.
Amen.
You may have situations that you don't know how to handle. That's okay. It needs a burning bush conference.
Amen.
get into the presence of the burning bush, receive fresh orders, and then he goes forth with you. I'll finish with this one. There's only one way provided by God for everything. There's only one way God will bring forth a burning bush bride. There's only one way you're going to make the rapture. There's only one way you're going to stand right to the end. There's only one way you're going to overcome all the wile and the guiles of the enemy. Is you're going to have the burning bush in you. And to get the burning bush in you, you're going to need a burning bush experience. And that's why Satan doesn't want people to come to this burning bush message. He wants to feed us with science, feed us with intellect. Like Sister Nachiza was doing like a script for a play for the young people. It was very good about, you know, teaching on Moses. And she said it at the beginning. She says, you know, in this age that we've got, mobile devices. Yes. People are so busy. Yes. Just when God wants to start speaking to you, think about YouTube. Or you think about Facebook. They all have their place. Ah, friends, but they're thieves of your experience if you're not careful. And the internet, you know, Olympics on and all these kind of things. And if you're not careful, you spend so much time in those things, you lose the burning bush experience. The deep that's trying to minister to you, the momentum is lost. You don't have the momentum anymore. Our friends, we need to be wise in this age. God didn't send a burning bush prophet and allow his photo to be taken. Now, we were speaking even to some other people about that photo. You know, 1950 Houston. Then somebody sent us now a picture of the Beatles. They had a certain place and that photo was taken. And because of the lights, there was like something above them. You know? You see, to the unbelievers. Okay. But the big difference is, what happened when the Beatles went on stage after that supposed light came on them? And what happened when the prophet went on the stage when that light went on them? You see, people don't dig deeper and go beyond the foolishness of that. And look and say, let's go a little bit deeper. What actually happened when this light, all these photos of this light coming down? You can listen on the tapes. You can see it on the DVD.
That's right.
Deep quality. You can see the change. You can see the burning bush expressing itself when that light came upon the man. But you see the way that the devil will always give those kind of a thing. Let's finish with a couple of quotes which the prophet says about these three pulls. And he's speaking about the burning bush under the first pull. We'll finish it again sometime. The prophet says, and we would see Jesus. How many have seen the picture of the angel of the Lord? That picture that's hanging yonder in Washington, D.C. Yeah? So he's speaking about the picture. They have a chair in the book, and also. Now, it reminds me of Brother Babes when he was in the prison. Yeah? And the Muslim man came and was listening outside to his preaching. And then the Muslim man came to him after his Brother Babes said, what are those books that you're speaking from? And he gave him a message book. And there was the picture of the pillar of fire. And then the next morning, Brother Babes now is on his way to breakfast and he meets another Muslim guy, comes up to him and says, Babes, what did you do to that guy? He said, nothing. I just gave him one of the books of the prophet. He says, you better go and speak to the man. So Brother Babes goes now to the cell, the place where this Muslim guy is. And the Muslim guy is like this and says, take this book away. He doesn't even want to look. So Brother Babes takes the book and says, why? And the man takes the book again and turns, doesn't want to look. Takes the pillar of fire picture and says, you see this picture? Last night when I was reading this book, that light came off that picture, came over me and healed me of a back problem I've always had. Please, take this book away.
Amen.
That's a burning bush experience.
Hallelujah.
Oh, friends. Who was given the testimony? Brother Shep. About the tape. How many times do you hear those things? How many times do you hear that somebody will listen and God will speak directly to you? You'll go back and you say, but he didn't actually say that. Or what about Brother Max that time when he was in church, sitting before church, yeah? And he heard his phone ring. That was powerful. And Brother Max, he looked around to see it was quiet time in the old church and he couldn't find his phone.
Amen.
And then he said, how's my phone ringing? I can't. And he went out to the car. Something told him, go to the car. And his phone was in the car. And there was another person hanging around who would have seen the phone in his car and stolen his phone. How did he hear the phone ring in the church? It's powerful, friends. In the presence of the burning bush. But to the carnal mind, it's foolishness. To the carnal mind, it's foolishness. To the believer, it's just a confirmation. So the prophet says, that picture of the angel of the Lord, they have it in the books. That's what's taking place just now. That's good. The same burning bush that met Moses was the same burning bush that was hanging over the audience. And friends, he's the same burning bush today.
Yes.
He's never changed. And you say, but why don't I receive much? Your approach. What's your approach?
Amen.
What's your approach? He's the I am. He's not the I was or the I will be. He's the I am. He's just as real today now as he was there in 1958 in New York. He says, that's what's taking place now. It's the same pillar of fire that led the children of Israel. He says, not me. No more than it was Moses when he was on the earth. He was manifested in Jesus, the same pillar of fire. Then he talked to Moses in the burning bush. And now look how the proof comes. He says, let's prove it. I like that in the message.
Amen.
The prophet doesn't just speak about the pillar of fire and go back to Moses and go back to Jesus and leave it there. He says, okay, let's prove it now. Let's prove it. And that's what I'm calling everybody here to today.
Amen.
Let's prove it. Let's prove it's false. Nothing will happen to you if you come with the right approach.
Yes,
but if it's real and you take off your shoes, watch what happens.
Amen.
Watch
Amen.
What happens. Something's going to take place.
Amen.
He says, here he is today. Scientific pictures taken of it. But here he is to prove more than any scientific picture.
Amen.
The scientific picture is good, but you can reason it away. But when you meet him that was in the scientific
Amen.
Picture, you're going to now believe the scientific
Amen.
Picture.
Amen.
You're going to know that it's real. He's here to prove more than any scientific picture. Anything, he's here to prove it. I, the Son of Man, will be revealed in this day. Now, there he is. He's not looking at the picture anymore. Now he's looking at him.
Amen.
There he is. I'm looking right at it. You say, do you see it? John saw it too, coming down as a dove.
Amen.
But the rest of them didn't. He says, but look, to prove it now. There's a woman standing before him. This woman is a stranger to me. I've never seen her in my life. But she's got something wrong with one of her limbs. And she's praying about it. Is that right, lady? You've had an operation on it. That's your husband sitting next to you. You're not from here, you're from California. Your name is Roland. Your stomach trouble has ended too, sir. You had stomach trouble, didn't you? Well, it's all gone. And your leg, he points to the woman and says, your leg is healed in the day of the Son of Man. Here, sitting back through here, here's a man, a colored man. Something wrong with his eyes. Yes, he works. He does something with cars. He polishes cars. You're a car waxer. That's right. Your eyes are going bad. You've just believed, haven't you? Some real strange thing happened to you. Your first name is Fred. That's right. Your last name is Con. That's right. You believe now. Your eyes ain't going to bother you no more then. I never saw the man before in my life. The man right back behind there. He's not from here either. From California. He's got a bad back. Mr. Owens. That's you.
Yes, sir.
The Lord Jesus makes you well. I never saw the man in my life. Know nothing about him. I'm just following that light as it goes.
Amen.
He had come down to use a burning bush prophet to bring a burning bush experience to people. And those people just had the right approach and they received their burning bush experience. They received the inheritance under that first and second pull, the healing of their body. They received the inheritance. He says, if you can believe, all things are possible to them that believe. Little fellow sitting here has got a hernia, wearing glasses and a gray suit. Fred, God heals you. Believe it. Will you accept it? I never saw him in my life. Mrs. Holden sitting over there from him, suffering with eye trouble. I don't know the woman, never seen her in my life. That's true. See, if you can believe.
Amen.
What are you crying for, sister? You've got a nervous breakdown. You've got bronchitis, heart trouble. You believe God will make you well sitting on the end of the seat there? If you believe with all your heart, Jesus will make you well. All that nervousness will go from you. You'll feel back in your right condition. The devil's lying to you. Do you accept it? Now raise up your hand and say, I accept. Okay, it's all over.
Amen.
What? He says, this is in birth pains. This church is going through a birth pain. Won't you make your choice now in his presence? I've shown you exactly the word, what he said he would do. Combing through this building. Ask anyone that's been struck or talked to, whatever it was, and see if I ever saw them, knew them, or knew anything about them. You think a man could do that? That's totally impossible for that to happen. What is it? It's the Son of Man. The Word of God is sharper than a two-edged sword, discerning the spirit, the secrets of God, exactly as it was when it was made flesh here on earth in the Son of God. Now it's being revealed by the Son of God as he's coming to call a bride out of that system. Come out of it. Be separate, saith God. Touch not the unclean things, and God will receive you. Oh, friends, that's a challenge to us. Let's stand. Let's speak to the burning bush. Let's come to him, whatever your need is. Let's bow our heads. You may be an unbeliever.
Hallelujah.
I put a challenge to you today in the name of Jesus. Just say, okay, I'm willing to humble myself because I can see that my unbelief is not satisfying me. I'm willing to come and give him a chance. Just say, Jesus, I've heard many other things. I've heard there's no God. I've heard all about these scientific theories. I've heard all of these things. But I want to know. And if that's your desire, and you're willing today to take off your scientific shoes,
hallelujah,
and to put them aside for a while and say, I'm not going to listen. You're going to be willing to lay aside those scarecrows that the devil would bring to you.
Yes,
I'd bring you to the challenge. And I'd say, as we'd pray, you speak to him.
Amen.
You call upon the name of the Lord.
Amen.
Bring something genuine before him. Bring a need from your soul and say, God, if you're real, you know where I am. Make yourself real to me.
Amen.
And to anybody else that's here, whatever needs that we have,
hallelujah,
let's come. Let's take off our shoes. Let's approach him. Let's come into his presence. Let's speak to the rock. Let's come into the presence of the burning bush. Because all things are possible to them that believe. Let's all come to a time of prayer. Let's call upon the name of the Lord. Let's come to a time of worship, saints, before we close in prayer.
I
oil and wine he poured in the oil and the wine. This old world can never hold me any moment. I'll be gone, for I am made. And I have my wedding garment on. Take me past the arcos to that holy place, past the praising altar. Lord, I want to see your face. Only found in your presence, Lord, take me to the place of hope. Take me, Lord, take me by the blood of the Lamb. Take me, Lord, take me to the holies of holies. Burning bush today, Lord, take me, oh Lord, the holiest of holies, take me by the blood of the Lamb. Oh Lord, I need the new birth, take, oh take me, Lord, into the holiest, take the it in. Oh, enter in to the temple. Give thanks to the ancient of days.
ancient of days.
I enter into the holiest of holies.
That's where I am strong in your presence.
the cliffs of a rock, in your presence, O God.
Praise the waits in Zion.
Praise the waits in Zion, O Lord.
Praise the waits, you Lord.
Praise awaits you in Zion, O Lord.
To you, Lord,
to you, O vows will all be fulfilled. Praise awaits you in Zion, O Lord. You hear our prayer. Oh Lord, you listen to our cries. Oh Lord, you listen to our cries.
To you, O men, Lord,
to you, O men, will direct their ways. Praise awaits you in Zion, O Lord.
So we lift his name.
So we lift the name of Jesus all the way. Messiah, Prince of Peace, the Lord of is the way, and our love will grow stronger every day.
I want to die to my will, be born anew in your grace. For as I am, I cannot please you, and all I want to see is your face. Oh, oh, oh.
I must decrease, he must increase, the power in me is there, I believe. For this you bled on Calvary, lies no longer amiss.
What I will own,
I will be.
Jesus, I want to die.
Jesus, I want to die, you must live. The word is grace to believe. I won't let you go till you bless me. I take up a race until I'm free. I will hold, I will be done, oh be done, Lord, done in my life, Lord, not my will, oh, but thine be done in my life. When I do good, Lord, when I do good, when I do good, Lord, when I do good, he puts praise. God's presence, I'm a blessing.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We bless you, Lord, this afternoon, Lord. We give you all the glory, Lord. Oh, thank you, Lord Jesus. We bless you, Lord. Oh, this hour, Lord Jesus, we can feel, Lord, your presence, God. Oh, we can see you right in our midst, Lord. Oh, Father, we thank you, Lord Jesus, that your word has always been true, that where two or three are gathered together in your name, there you are in their midst, Lord. And you said that you are the one, oh, that walks in the midst of your children. Oh, thank you, Lord Jesus, for this afternoon. Oh, Heavenly Father, we came, O Lord, and your word, O Lord Jesus, had been made so plain to us. It has brought a refreshing, Lord, unto us. Just the day that Moses, O Lord, met the burning bush, oh, it brought everything clearer. Hallelujah. To him, Lord. And so, Lord Jesus, even this morning when we came, standing on that holy Hallelujah. Grounds, Lord, your word has come, making things plain to us, making things clearer to us. Oh, Lord, we know that the day when you were walking on earth here, oh, you said, I will not leave you alone. I will send you a comforter. And Heavenly Father, oh, just like when Elijah was going, oh, yes, his robe fell upon Elisha, and there was a double portion. Oh, when you were going also, oh, your robe fell upon Pentecost. And Lord Jesus, that's our burning bush. Oh, we thank you, Lord Jesus.
Amen.
Lord, this afternoon, your children stand before you. I bring all everyone here this afternoon, Lord. Oh, including myself, Lord. Oh, we humble under the Holy Spirit now. Our burning bush. The Lord, you made things clearer to everyone. The Lord, it brought Moses to his position. Lord, take us to our positions, Lord. Father, I pray in the name of Jesus Christ, oh, committing a special, Lord, the children in this house, the youth in this house. Oh, Lord, we lift them before you. That, oh, God, your very holy presence, Lord, oh, be a burning bush before them. The Lord, to take them to their place, Lord. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, we once again, we say thank you, Lord. Oh, for the word of life that we have received, that has been preserved for us, Lord. You have fed us, Lord, and your word assures us, and it has happened, oh God, that we are satisfied with the goodness of your house. Lord Jesus, this afternoon, oh, our hearts, Lord, is full of joy, oh God. Oh, for this kind of words, this kind of message, we will never find it anywhere. Lord, bless Hallelujah. Your children. Amen. Bless everyone. Bless our children. Bless our youth, Lord. We come against every works of the enemy that to try to defend them, Lord. Father, in Jesus' name, your spirit always raise that standard for them. Oh, thank you once again, Lord. We thank you for our pastor, Lord Jesus, for using him, oh God, so mightily. Oh, we came not to see him. Oh, we saw Christ in him. And we have received our bread, Lord, the bread of life, Lord. Father, as we are living, oh God, we are not living in your presence. Even before, Lord, we want to remember, oh, your children that came in here, they are no visitors, Lord. Father, bless them. Lord Jesus, bless them and their families, Lord. And even as they will live, oh God, let these words, oh God, oh, be a permanent something, Lord, in their lives, oh God. Something indelible that, Lord Jesus, it will carry them wherever they go to give that same testimony. Oh, Heavenly Father, you granted Jenny mercies to be here as we are going, Lord. We want to commit ourselves once again to your hands, that you granted Jenny mercies. And even as we go, Lord, oh, even as we heard from the Sunday school, we don't come to church to hear the word of God and forget it the whole of the week. Father, let us go and meditate upon it, Lord. Oh, let us, Lord, rest upon it, Lord, that it will give us more and more of your anointing, Lord. So that, Lord Jesus, the next day that we will meet here on Wednesday, we will come with various fires. Oh, come in here, Lord, burning, oh God, in your spirit, Lord Jesus. Father, once again, all the needs of this church, you know them individually. Those who are looking for a change in your jobs, in Jesus' name, Lord, grant it, Lord. Those who are looking for documents, in the name of Jesus Christ, grant it, Lord. Those who are looking for the cry of babies in their homes, in the name of Jesus Christ, grant them, Lord. We believe that we are serving a living God who will never fail us. And so, Lord, that's where our faith is hanging, is anchored, Lord, in your word of God that never fails. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Oh, we don't want to move. Lord, there is no other place. I'm so happy, Lord. And Father, I want to be here. I know my brethren wants to still remain here and worship and praise you because we have received life. Thank you, Lord Jesus. And bless your church, Lord. Let it be on fire. Oh, let us not be, oh Lord, like Ephesus, oh, aiming high and relax and be drifting, Lord. But let us, Father, move forward, oh God, towards that mark, the Lord Jesus. That day when you come, oh, you meet your church without blemish, without spot, without wrinkle. A holy church you said you bring to yourself, Lord. There you see us, Lord, oh, to go together with you unto that place that, Lord, you've reserved for us for eternity, Lord. We thank you in the blessed name of our Lord Jesus Christ. We pray with all thanksgiving. Amen. 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 The church say amen. 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 Oh, hallelujah. Amen. Thank you, Lord Jesus.
Amen.
Thank you, God.
Amen.
Yes, Abraham.
I just want to, I felt pushed when Brother Max was praying there. We're always trying to see how far we can get away from church and not come to as many services as we can. But I like what the pastor said. Just want to give it as a testimony because next Sunday I won't be here because of my job again. But what the testimony I wanted to give is, I was in Lithuania and I was really in the word and praying and I was really blessed. And I, with the word and the Holy Ghost, I just felt, look, what's keeping me from worship is my job. And the pastors always said, and we've always said, your job keeps you away from church. You should leave the job. So I thought, hey, now I have to leave the job. Because now they added more shifts. Like this past week, I couldn't come to church the whole week. This weekend, I won't be in church. So I'll miss a lot of service. So I thought, okay, fine. So if that's the way the devil is playing, then I'll leave the job. I will quit the job. And then I text the pastor, I remember, I said, brother, because I wanted to tell someone.
Yeah.
Because then I have to be kept by my word. I said, Brian, pray for me, bro. I've come to the conclusion this morning that 9th of August, my birthday, if I don't have a job, I'm leaving. Mm. So on 9th of August, I got up in the morning.
God bless you.
And I wrote my, I had asked someone for resignation. So I used his and I put my name in there. But hey, I was now scared. And I was thinking, hey. So now, I have a wife, children. What am I going to do? How will I feed them? How am I going to get another job? And people at work, the voices at work, like the pastor was saying, the one man is my good friend, Declan. I told him, he said, George, that's crazy. You need to find a job. You'll never get a job. How do you get a job without a job? And when the more he spoke, the more I felt convinced that it has to happen. I said, Declan, when you telling me, because we had lunch the previous Sunday, I was working. I said, the more you tell me, I feel persuaded that I have to leave. So I went, typed my resignation, sent it to my Hotmail, got to work. I printed it out and I couldn't work until I got that thing off my chest. It was like a burden. I had to hand in and it was in my back pocket. So I was looking for my boss. I couldn't find him. People who have problems, I couldn't fix their problems. Eventually I found him. I said, Barry, please, can I talk to you? And we went into the office. And I was, you know, because they like me, they where I work. So I said, look, this is the best place I ever worked for. And he was saying, oh, no. I said, but unfortunately, I have to resign. That's my resignation. And he said, geez, why? Why? And I said, no, I have to. He said, is there anything? I said, look, after my brother died, it hurt me badly and all. But I realized, what's the purpose of working? And there's a lot of other reasons. You know, I said, but I'm leaving. He said, can we not change it? Maybe give you more? I said, no, I'm leaving the job. I don't want it anymore. And when I done that now, I was in the valley of decision now. Because the whole week I was scared. All the people that I've emailed, employment agencies, none of them are responding. Lots of mails I sent out. Then my one friend of mine, he calls me Chief Graham. The one time when he wanted a job, he came to my house, Sister Liana remembers, and he was so nervous about a job. And I said, Graham, you'll have that job today. And he went and he got the job. And ever since, when I have needs for job, he contacts me because he knows the feeling. So he phoned me that morning because I've been trying to ring him a few weeks ago. Then he said, Chief, how are you doing? You tried to call me. Sorry, I was away. So I said, I'm okay, Graham. I said, I packed in that job. Oh, you packed it in? Hey, so what are you going to do? And while I was talking to him, he sent me a name of someone, a lady. He sent me a name and an email address. So that day I was so tired the whole day. Early in the morning I got up and I prayed and I sent. And I was thinking of Brother James the one time in Zimbabwe when we had things to sell. And Brother James said, we have to. I said, brother, let's go to the mountains first, because we used to always pray. The pastor took us, he'll always take us into the mountain. And the one particular time I prayed and I went down and I sold the thing straight away. So I was thinking of that event, saying at a certain time it'll be the right time. So I emailed that lady in the morning. By 4 o'clock, I was upstairs fixing something and I felt so pushed to run back to my desk because my phone was charging. And my phone was on silent. It was vrr, vrr, vrr. And I picked it up and I said, 044. Who could this be? Hey, that's strange. And I said, hello, George. You sent me your CV this morning. Can I have a word? So I said, hold on. Normally in work, if I get a call, I'm nervous. I went into the office. She said, look, I got your CV this morning. It was amazing. And she offered me a serious job. And I said, and after that, I was talking to the pastor, say, but hey, when you put God, like, and I spoke to Brananda prior to that as well. Yeah. And Brananda, when I spoke to him about his wife had a heart operation, so I testified about my operation. Yeah. Then I said, Brananda, one request while you're in Zimbabwe, please. He said, what's that? I said, brother, I'm nervous about work. He said, brother, if you put God first, you'll never be ashamed.
Amen.
So that's all I wanted to encourage the saints.
Yeah.
Many times, and all I'm doing it for, because I'm not here for work. I'm here for God.
Amen.
You see, I want to be on Wednesday. I want to be on Friday. I want to be on Sunday. And if there's any extra services, I want to be there. If you don't see me, it's because I'm at work. Hmm. But I'll be back soon. Amen.
That's all I want to say. Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Let's sing one as we dismiss. If anybody wants to go, please feel free to go. If anybody wants to stay, let's continue to worship the Lord. Amen.
Surely it all His throat comes out. Surely around it, the door to heaven is found. And we know is that our holy God is yet.
Surely around it.
Oh, and we know.
Lift our voice and sing.